Morning. Good to see you here this morning. It's always good to be in the sanctuary, in the house of the Lord, if you will. And we are small in number, but the Lord shows up in a big way in this place, doesn't he? And praise God for that. I would just add to what Amanda shared to start the service. I greatly appreciate everyone who just kind of stepped up and helped out in the last couple of days. And it's fantastic to see the body of Christ just come together and be the church as God calls us to be, and just to be community and to be an encouragement to one another in times of need. And it was great to be to see and witness and be a part of. I ask that you continue to lift this family up in prayers, of course, in the days and weeks and months ahead, for sure. I also ask that you continue to pray for Ann and Jack and their family this morning and in the days ahead. Jack, we are with you, and we are here to support you and encourage you, and please express our love and prayers to Ann for sure. And so please just know that, and whatever we can do to help. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer before we get into his word. Lord, you are a good, good God and a good Father, Lord, and I thank you for meeting us in this place this morning, that we can just gather and worship and fellowship and encourage one another and to be the church. Lord, I thank you that you just show up and meet us wherever we happen to be in life, whether we are experiencing great joy or great suffering, Lord, whether we are, our faith is strong or our faith is weak, whether our faith is being tested, regardless of where we find ourselves at, Lord, that is where you meet us. And I thank you for that. Lord, I thank you for the the story of Zacchaeus, where when Jesus came across him, said, "Zacchaeus, come down from there, for I'm going to your house tonight to have dinner with you." There was no prerequisites. Just come down. Don't go and seek forgiveness. Don't repent. Just come down so I can be with you. And Lord, I love that, because it just confirms that you are willing to be with us wherever we are in life. And I thank you for that, Lord, because we just need you. And we just need you, Lord. And thank you that you are always there for us. Lord, I just don't know how people go through things without the hope of eternal life. And Lord, but yet there are many that don't understand that hope and don't have that knowledge. And shame on us for not being more intentional about that. And so, Lord, I pray that you would give us strength and boldness to do just that. When we see just how important it is to be part of the body of Christ, Lord, it breaks my heart for those that don't know what it's like to be part of the body of Christ, the church family. Lord, I hope that that motivates us to do better, to be better in our witness and in the way that we share our faith with those around us in our circles of life. And Lord, I pray that you give us the boldness to do that. And Lord, as the song says, I pray that the word of God this morning would speak to us, Lord, like it would just fall down like rain. And Lord, I pray that the hearts of your people this morning would just receive it. Receive it as a blessing. Receive it as an encouragement. Receive it as though you are speaking directly to us this morning. Lord, that can only happen if the Spirit of God increases in this place and that I decrease. And so I pray that that would be so. And Lord, I pray that you would be with us as we depart from this place. Continue to encourage us. Continue to shower us with your blessings and with your love, so that we can in turn be a blessing and love others as you have called us to do. Lord, bless the reading and the teaching of your word now as we open it. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen. So, a little technology glitch here this morning. Okay, we're good. So here we are in week number 4, our fourth and final week of our Live Ready series. And so thank you for being here for that. And what we've basically been looking at is how to be ready in many aspects of life to respond to difficulties, tragedies, and those sorts of things in life. And be ready to respond to tough scenarios in life when we are faced with them. Whether it be a personal painful experience we have, or some sort of injustice that we see in the world, or that we witness or we experience, that we must know how God desires his people to respond. God desires us as Christians, as disciples, to respond in a certain way to these types of things in life. And we cannot respond the way that God wants us to if we're not intentional about being ready to respond to them. That's what we've been talking about. And today we're going to talk about living ready and readying our prayers. Readying our prayers. Prayer is simply put a conversation with God. A conversation with God. And I believe that God desires us to have a conversation with him like we would have with anybody else. Not just this, you know, I'm going to go say my prayers, but this constant dialogue throughout the day. You know, not just our prayer shouldn't just be confined to time or space, but just how you would talk to your spouse or to your kids or to your friends. I think that's how God desires us to speak with him. There are times when that conversation with God is kind of passionate and fiery. And I've had, in the past few weeks, some passionate and fiery conversations with God, and maybe you have too. And then sometimes our prayers are more quiet and muted at times. There are variations and seasons of our prayer that a person may experience over the course of a lifetime, and I think a lot of times those variations depend on the season of life that we are in. So our prayer life often is dependent upon where we are in our faith, in our circumstances, and in our life, and that's okay. Those different seasons of prayers, like I said, are often a reflection of what happens to be going on in our life at the moment. Regardless of the season or the style of prayer, there is one thing that remains true regarding prayer. Prayer is not the least that we can do. Prayer is the best thing that we can do. Prayer is powerful and mighty in the mouth of a disciple. Yet, unfortunately, many have a minimal or almost non-existent prayer life, and that is a tragedy. We desire to see God more. We desire to see our faith increased, but at the same time, we aren't really willing to invest the time and energy into a prayer life that's necessary to experience those things. R.A. Torrey says this. He says, "We are too busy to pray, so we are too busy to have power," because there's power in prayer. "We have a great deal of activity, but we accomplish little." We have many services, but few conversions. A lot of machinery, but few results. That's a hard quote to hear, isn't it? But I can't say as though he's wrong. And that's why it's so important that we ready ourselves to pray. As we think about prayer today, we're going to jump into a few places in Scripture and how it speaks about the power of prayer. And the first stop I want to look at is the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. And this is what it says. Devote yourselves to pray, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, says the Apostle Paul, that God may open up a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. So that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. In this short passage, Paul focuses his attention in writing on prayer itself. He is calling his readers to prayer for several reasons, one of which is even for him. And we'll talk about that more in a bit. So today we must understand that prayer is not only the least that we can do, it is often the best that we can do. Talking with God on one is not meant to be a box that we just simply check off. Like, sometimes I think, like, okay, I said my prayer today, boom, I can check that spiritual box off, right? I got up, I said my prayer this morning, okay, I'm done with that for the day. That's not the way that prayer was intended. It's meant to develop a true relationship with God. Can you imagine trying to have a relationship with somebody and not ever talking, or maybe just a two-minute conversation in the morning and then not talking to them the rest of the day, whether it be a relationship at work, friends, spouses, sons, daughters, whatever the case may be? It just simply wouldn't work. It'd be very, very hard to have a relationship that way. Yet, sometimes I feel like that's how we treat God. We want to have this relationship with him, but we have very little conversation with him. We know that prayer moves mountains, but yet we oftentimes look at it as a last resort. So let's break this passage down from Paul today. So when it comes to the power of prayer in brokenness in our world, is there any brokenness in our world today? How do we go about talking to God about it? Well, number one, the text says with devotion. It has to begin with devotion. Last week we talked a little bit about not saying or saying yes to certain things. That what we ultimately say yes to does not just have our attention, but it also has our devotion. All right, so the things that we say yes to in life are the things that we become devoted to in life. So be careful what you say yes to, because that's what you will be committed to. That's what you will be focused on. Whatever we are devoted to, we will be committed daily to, and that's what will have our focus. So that's why the Apostle Paul says we should devote ourselves to prayer. Because if we devote ourselves to prayer, then we'll be committed to prayer, and we will focus on prayer, and prayer will have our affection, if you will. There's this interesting story in the New Testament that seems to illustrate this nicely, and it's found in the book of Acts. Chapter 12, and I don't have my Bible here. Let me grab that real quick. Acts chapter 12, the first book after the Gospels. Starting in verse 1. And this is what it says in verse 1. It was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with a sword. Verse 3, when he saw that this pleased the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. This happened during the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. After arresting him, he put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers on each side. Herod intended to bring him out for public trial after the Passover. So Peter was kept in prison, it says in verse 5. But the church was earnestly, don't miss verse 5, but the church was earnestly praying to God for Peter. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. But suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. "Quick, get up," he said, and the chains fell off Peter's wrist. They just fell off. Chains don't just fall off. Then the angel said to him, "Put on your clothes and sandals," and Peter did so. "Wrap up your cloak around you and follow me," the angel told him. Peter followed him out of the prison, but he had no idea what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. Thought he was dreaming. This can't be for real. Chains don't just fall off. Angels don't just show up and tell you to get dressed and go for a walk. They passed the first and second guards and then came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself, and they went through it. And when they had walked the length of one street, suddenly the angel left him. And then Peter came to himself and said, "Now I know without a doubt that the Lord sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were anticipating." And then this is the last verse I'm going to read. Verse 12. When this had dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. Well, that's a fairly long section of Scripture. But I want you to see the progression of things. We are told that Peter is thrown in prison for preaching the gospel. But then comes verse 5. So Peter's in prison, but what? God's people. And what are they doing? God's people are praying. And what was the first thing they did? See, they didn't see prayer as the least they could do. They saw prayer as the best thing that they could do for Peter. They didn't try and send in an army to rescue him. They didn't try and do any of that. They said, the best thing that we can do is just to pray. This is true devotion to prayer. But it doesn't stop there. The story goes on to say that Peter escaped from prison, presumably due to the prayers of the people. And I wonder, it says that they walked past the guards. What were the guards doing? Did the Lord just kind of put them to sleep? Well, we don't know. But they just walked right past the guards. And then once Peter was out of prison, he visits the home of Mary. And what did he find there? Many who were gathered for prayer. It doesn't say that they had gathered there and they had prayed. It said that they were praying. And so my guess is that when they found out that Peter was in prison, they gathered and started to pray, and they continued to pray, and they continued to pray until he was out of prison. It wasn't like, okay, we need to say a prayer for Peter, and then, okay, we're dismissed, you're adjourned, we said our prayer, let's go on with our days. No, they prayed, and they continued to pray, and they were praying until he was there visiting them. The people of God were in constant prayer for Peter. And a question we need to ask here is this: what in your life are you praying for with this kind of devotion, with this kind of passion? And I wonder if God, for some time now, for some time in your life, is inviting you into a deeper intimacy with him en route to get it through this through prayer. He still has the power to heal. And he still has the power to restore. He still has the power to set people free, just like he set Peter free. He still has the power to break chains, just as he broke the chains in Peter's life, and provide breakthrough in any situation. We must believe for it, and not just in our minds, but in our prayers to him. We must pray as though we mean it and say, Lord, I'm praying and I'm asking because I believe it and I claim it in Jesus' name, not just to check it off a box. But yet we still do that. And sometimes we don't even do that. How often, just be honest, have you found yourself saying to somebody, I'll pray for you? And maybe you said a 5-second prayer, maybe a minute, maybe you forgot to pray at all. And that's why I find it sometimes so important when somebody shares something with you, don't just say, I'll pray for you. You say, you know what? Let's pray it right now. Let's pray about it right now. We must believe him for it, and not just in our minds, but in our prayers to him. But speaking of our minds, they are meant to be engaged in the process too. Because here's what happens. We don't oftentimes stay alert. And we need to be alert. We need to keep an alert mind. Now, when Julia was younger, I would sit in a rocking chair in her bedroom at night. And as she was trying to go to bed, I would sit in the rocker with the lights off, and I would just pray. And I'm not sure if I should be ashamed to admit this or not, but there were times that I would just doze off to sleep. In the middle of my prayer, sitting in the rocker, just in the dark, and just wake up 10 minutes later going, oh, wow, and then finish my prayer and head out and maybe go to bed myself. But that's probably never happened to anybody else. Nobody else has ever fallen asleep saying a prayer, I'm sure, right? Jesus had something to say to his disciples about that, didn't he? In Jesus' darkest hour, the disciples couldn't even stay awake and stay alert during their time of prayer. Well, if they couldn't do it, I'm sure there's going to be times that we're distracted in our prayer life. Well, Paul's word to the Colossians about prayer are pretty simple to this concept. There's a Greek word Paul uses here for being watchful, and it simply means, I am awake in the night. Now, does this mean that Paul is telling readers that we aren't to ever sleep and this pray 24 hours? Obviously, that's not true. We know that that's not what he meant. However, Paul is telling us that in our prayers, we must be alert. We must be alert. It's as if we have our eyes wide open, constantly checking and searching to make sure that everything is all right. In terms of our prayer life, we are constantly checking back in with God throughout the day, making sure everything is okay. This conversation, you know how you would text a friend throughout the day? You know, the text message starts in the morning and it ends at night. There might be a gap in an hour that you respond, but this is the type of thing that God wants us to have with him, where we just constantly checking in with God and saying, you know, hey, God, thank you for this moment. Boy, I really need your help over here. Or, you know what, this has been really hard, but this has been really great. And just kind of having this back and forth conversation with God throughout the day. When we keep our minds alert while we are praying, it also allows us to be receptive to the Holy Spirit might be saying to us. Because part of our prayer to God is part of him responding to us. And if we aren't alert, we aren't going to be ready to receive the response that God has for us, right? So part of the being alert is for our benefit to hear from God also. He may put a scripture in our mind to pray that has to do with the brokenness of this world. We have to be alert to receive it. When we're praying about somebody, he might put something on our mind to do for that person. We have to be alert to receive it. when we're praying for about an injustice that we're experiencing, he might put something on our heart that we need to do to be a part of it. But we need to be alert to experience it and to hear a word from the Spirit. John 16:13 says this, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all of the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is to come. But then when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you, and he will speak a word of the Lord to you." We have to be alert in our prayer life so that we can hear the word of the Spirit, the word of the Lord through the Spirit, and receive it. These are the words of Jesus. And he even tells us that when the Holy Spirit comes within us, he will speak to us. Now, if you're not alert or you're sleeping, I can still speak to you, but you aren't going to hear it. Or you might hear something, but you aren't truly going to hear it or process it. You might hear some mumblings. And it's the same thing with the Spirit or when God tries to speak to us. If you're not alert, maybe you hear it, but you can't process it and fully understand exactly what he's trying to teach you through it. These little things and thoughts the Spirit provides remind us that God is not only listening to us speak to him, but he speaks to us. He is guiding us and leading us through life, and for that we should be thankful. Which leads me to this principle of praying with a thankful heart. The final thing we need in the equation of the prayer that Paul gives us is a thankful heart. This one really has to do with the way that we respond to situations in our life. It's easy to be thankful when life is good and when life is easy. But what about when things get tough? What about when things get hard? What about when our faith is tempted? What about when someone hurts you? What about when just life and your foundation is crumbling around you? What about then? What about when we experience pain or suffering in our life? We are nonetheless called to respond with thanksgiving in our heart in each and every situation. We need an example of this. You don't have to look very far than Paul himself, continuing on that theme. The Bible says in Colossians that Paul was in chains when he wrote these words in Colossians 1:3. He was in a prison cell, and I would suggest that it was probably a cold and dark and not very nice prison cell. And he was chained there. And this is what he says in Colossians 1:3. "We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Even in that moment, the Apostle Paul says, "We always thank God." Paul, a man in prison, enchained in prison, can give thanks to his God while praying. If he can have that kind of humble posture in prayer, what's our excuse? Doing this well has a lot to do with our perspective, as we've talked about in previous weeks in this series. We said that it's hard for us to respond well to pain and suffering we experience if we only have an earthly or temporary perspective on things. However, if you and I are willing to look at things from an eternal perspective, we are able to have a thankful heart regardless of what comes our way. We have to have an eternal perspective. We have to believe in eternal life. And if we have that eternal perspective, it allows us to be ready to respond in the way that God desires us to respond. in our prayers. God wants to hear about everything that is in our hearts. Everything. The good, the bad, the ugly. He wants to hear it all. And when we tell him about our pain, and I'm telling you, I've told God plenty of times about my pain. And when I've told God about my frustrations and about the hardships, when I'm willing to just be real with God and say, God, life is really hard right now, it's in that moment, in the midst of all of that, that we realize that God is still here. And he won't leave us in our discomfort. He just won't leave us there. Therefore, we can be thankful in our hearts for God's constant presence and his unconditional love. It's okay to be real with God, just like you would be with anybody else. That's what he wants. He wants to hear of your joys, and he wants to hear of your heartaches. He wants to hear of your peaceful times, and he wants to hear about your chaotic times. Because, and when we're real with him in the midst of it all, he just simply won't leave us there. Or he might leave us there, but he'll come alongside us and walk with us or carry us. I'll conclude with this. Having God with us, the Holy Spirit living in us, and Jesus intercessing or interceding on our behalf, we should be able to be as bold as lions. I mean, if we have God with us, and we have the Holy Spirit living in us, and we have Jesus Christ interceding on our behalf, how can we be silent? But yet, here we are sometimes. We should be confident and courageous in our prayers for those around us. I mean, Jesus intercedes for us. God is with us. His Holy Spirit is within us. We need to be confident and courageous in our prayer life. For our neighbors and our friends and even our enemies. Because God is ready to hear it all, and he's ready to respond to it all. And he's ready to answer. And he's ready to send an army of angels to help. But we got to be real with God. And we got to bring it to him. So here's my ask for this coming week. To focus on one or two situations in prayer that you know you need to bring to God's attention. And just lay it at his feet. Just lay it there. Find ways to be grateful in the midst of it all. And be courageous. Hebrews 4:16 says this, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Wow, I love that. I'm going to read that again. Hebrews 4:16, let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence so we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Who needs help in their time of need? Every single one of us. Bring your concerns, your questions, your hopes, your dreams, your fears, your phobias. Bring it all of it. Bring it all to him with boldness and confidence. Be always ready in prayer, knowing that our Lord is always ready to receive and respond to it. The Lord is always on the ready to receive our prayers, always. And the Lord is always on the ready to respond to them. Living a life of readiness, it takes effort. It takes intention. But living a life worthy of any calling takes the same. You're going to be committed to something, and it's going to take a lot of time and energy to be committed to it. You might as well be committed and ready to love and serve the Lord. So take some time as we finish this series up to consider the state of your heart and soul. Take some time to consider the ways you respond to the world around you. And take some time to pray. And I'm going to say this again. Prayer is not the least that we can do. Prayer is the best that we can do. And you know what? Too often, prayer is our last resort when it should be the place that we start. Something bad happens in our life, and we try a million other things to solve it. And then we say, you know what? None of that worked. Maybe we should just pray. You know how much different life would be if we would just start there? When the first sign of hurt or heartache or sorrow or attacks or something, if the first thing that we would just do is drop down on our knees and pray and say, I'm not going to do anything else until I start here. It's okay to do all those other things, to seek help, but the first thing we need to do is just pray. Ready your prayer life. Be ready to live intentionally. Be ready to live intentionally so that when those things come, when those injustices come, when those heartaches come, that we are ready to respond in the way that God would desire us to respond. Let's pray. Lord, how I thank you for your word. It's so powerful. And it speaks truth. And it encourages our heart. I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you that there is power in your word. And Lord, I thank you that there is power in prayer. And Lord, I pray for each of us here this morning, or those who might be tuning in this morning, Lord, that we would understand the importance and the power that there is in prayer. That we have a God who is standing with us. That we have a Spirit that is living within us. And that we have a Savior who is interceding on our behalf. Lord, may we take that knowledge and may we take that truth and ready ourselves and be bold and courageous for the sake of the gospel. And we ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Dan, for those reminders. I know I have many throughout my life that I thought of, and also many that have gone before me that have been an influence in my life. And I can think of many, but one in particular, Don Flinchy. He was my Sunday school teacher. And every time he would pray, he would always say, Jesus, Jesus. He's here within us. He dwells in us. He is our friend. He is the Son of God. You believe that? John 3:16, you'll have life eternal. We're here just a very short time. His will, he will call you when he's ready. Where there is God's love, there is purpose. There are so many times that I think to myself, oh, how can I go through this pain? People are taken from us. We want them here. In God's time, he has surrounded us with his love, and where there is faith, there is no fear. Amen. And we thank him for our trials that draws us closer to him. Hold on to his word and his promises. Amen. Stand if you are able. We're going to sing our last song. continue to pray to God throughout the day, and you be that person for that other child of God who is suffering, who is maybe needing to hear words. And I thank you for being here and worshiping with us today, Gregory Community Church. And may you go throughout your week knowing the love of God is with you always.